You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the place we affectionately call the G Family Performance Center, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am your gracious and humble host, Derek G, thanking you for making us a part of your day. And if you like listening to the Locked On Sooners podcast or any of the podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network, might I make a suggestion? Check us out in your car. Just ask your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast or any of our other podcasts, and they'll pull right up for you. You can also subscribe on Apple iTunes, or you can listen on Spotify or Stitcher or LockedOnPodcast.com. It's Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Coming up on today's show, some information is starting to get out about spring practice and what's going on there. And it's all very good, important information that tells you that there is a culture of competition being created at OU amongst the defense that probably hasn't been there a while. There's also a culture of being able to identify with the players that, based on something I've read, says that identifying with the players wasn't priority number one for the defense for a very long time. So we're not only going to discuss this information that's out and take it at its surface, but we're going to go a little bit deeper and talk about why it's important that stuff like this get out into the public. And it's really not even for us to consume. There is another target audience that needs to be reading this and hearing this, and I'll tell you who that is coming up here in just a bit. We'll also talk about the upcoming spring game, Lee Bryce, the decision that OU made to bring him in. But what the decision that OU is facing, or what's a decision that OU is facing, is when you do an event like this, who are you really doing it for? Is it the recruits or the fans? Who ultimately do you need to please? And what is Texas doing with one of their big recruiting weekends that I think is pretty darn savvy, but ultimately, will it make that much of a difference as far as them being able to wrangle in kids? We'll talk about that in segment number two. And then finally, in segment number three, we'll get to a little bit about OU and the Big 12 tournament. Ah, did you forget? Yeah, the big day for OU tomorrow with Pro Day coming up. And of course, the Big 12 tournament as OU plays West Virginia. We'll talk about Christian Doolittle and how he's not only the most improved player in the Big 12, but he is OU's MVP. Essentially, OU wants to win in advance, then they need to make sure that he has the ball. But why tomorrow is so important for OU, when you look at the latest bracketology that's been sent out by Joe Lunardi, and of course, we'll discuss Pro Day, and Marquise Brown and Rodney Anderson and what they have to gain by it. My name's Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I also run a website called Sooner Maven, so do me a favor, check that out. Go to collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma. Give me some feedback on that site, and give me some feedback on this podcast, good, bad, and different. I want to hear it all, and you can tweet me either at Sooner Maven or at Locked On Sooners. Either way, it all worked. Some news about OU spring practice is starting to make the rounds on the internet, and it's good news. It's good news for several reasons. As a fan, the one thing you should be most pleased and confident about is that Alex Grinch and his staff are doing everything they can to create a culture of competition. Not only are they intense and yelling instructively, according to what I read, and that the criticism is coming is constructive criticism versus just blatant criticism, but more importantly, they're giving the kids a clean slate, or they're giving the players a clean slate. I'll go back to the whole constructive criticism thing here coming up in just a moment. But let's talk about starting with a clean slate. For the defensive backs, especially the cornerbacks, that is the most important thing. And for a guy like Parnell Motley, it couldn't be any better of a situation than you getting some new coaches to look at you, because if you just take last year's Iowa State game, it was Parnell Motley's career in a microcosm. He's doing a pretty good job of covering, ended up getting a 15-yard penalty for an unsportsmanlike conduct call, and then got burned by Akeem Butler for a 57-yard touchdown. And that was Parnell Motley. Like, he would show you with a timely interception how he could cover and make a big play. And then it always seemed like in the same game, a receiver was getting behind him and just torching him for some big play. And when that happens over and over again, and coaches see that you are being consistently inconsistent, it's going to be hard for them to trust you. And on one hand, you've got to be very careful as a coach not to damage somebody's psyche, not to damage them to the point where they're more worried about making a mistake versus just letting their hair down and play football. But at the same time, you need to keep that edge about them so they always kind of have to feel like their job's in jeopardy. And that's a very fine line for any coach to walk. And I think a lot of Parnell Motley's mistakes last year, especially when he was getting burned, was because he was tentative, because he was so afraid that he was going to displease everyone around him that he would make that one mistake. Now, some of it may have just been complete carelessness when you take a look at it, but as a coach, you've got to be in tune with your players. And when I read something that says Alex Grinch is giving constructive criticism and he's yelling and he's doing everything he can to make sure that these kids are competing for the job, and it's coming, you know, the criticism is there and it's used as a teaching moment, it just tells me that OU and Mike Stoops had gotten really far away from how to identify with kids. And my biggest question about that is if Mike Stoops really could not identify with how to coach kids, if that was an issue, then why was he allowed to coach as long as he did? Why was Bob not able to recognize that? And because Bob wasn't able to unrecognize that, so much damage was done to this defense that I'm not sure Alex Grinch can bring it back in one spring and one fall workout. It's going to take this year, the following year after that, and maybe the next year as you recruit and start to get players that understand your system a little bit better and can function in your system in order for OU to be good. Now, it may surprise me because one of the things that I am reading is that Neville Gallimore is slimming down, and he's going to be effective in this defense. It's certainly going to play to his strength, and with speed being a big deal, he's going to be able to take advantage of it. With the linebackers, nothing is really set. There's a heavy rotation, and that's good with multiple guys getting their opportunities at the one or to run with that number one unit. But that's what you want. You want guys every day going out, putting it on the line. And I almost get the sense that, you know, last year that maybe some things were, there were some guys that were just fat and happy. There were some guys that didn't like the way that they were being treated by coach. And ultimately, they may not just not have wanted to play for this staff. But one thing I will say, in just getting the opportunity to talk to Buki a couple of weeks ago or last week, or talk to a guy like Caleb Kelly, just having that fresh voice in the locker room, having guys that are a little bit younger that you don't feel are as far removed away from the things that you're going through on an everyday basis just as a college student can be extremely helpful, because in a sense they can get on your level. They can speak your language because they haven't forgotten yet just what the day-to-day life is for a college football player. Whereas a guy like Mike Stoops, I mean, once you hit, and this isn't true of everyone. Let me just make sure that is clear. It's not true of everyone, but the older you get, once you start hitting 40, you start losing that ability to kind of identify with somebody who's in their 20s. Because you're going through things, you're raising kids, you have different priorities in life that they don't have. And still in your 30s, even though you're a little bit further removed, some of that stuff is just fresh in your mind of what you were going through just every day, just getting up, getting to class on time, having to work out, having to watch film. You can start to have those flashbacks a little bit easier than guys in their mid-40s and guys in their 50s. So you know how to balance and treat your kids a little bit better and talk to them in a way that is going to get through. And that's what I think this staff is ultimately going to accomplish with these kids, is they're going to be able to get through to them on a more human level than what these last guys were able to get through. And who knows? I mean, we have been told that this is a simple system for these guys to run, and that they've seen the Washington State film, and they feel that if the Washington State players can pull this off, then the OU players ought to be able to pull it off as well. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am Eric G. Coming up next here on LOS, OU had a decision to make. Please the players or please the fans? And I'll tell you why they made the right decision and something not so sneaky smart, just out and out smart that Texas is doing with their players. And I'll also tell you why ultimately it's not going to make as big a difference as the guys in Texas want. We'll talk about that here on the Locked On Sooners podcast.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
And thank you for listening to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, you can listen to this podcast in your car just by telling your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast, and it will. It'll do that for you. It'll also play any of the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network. And if you'd like to check those podcasts out, just go to LockedOnPodcast.com. And you can always subscribe on Apple iTunes. And there's always Stitcher and Spotify. Kudos to RJ Young for reaching out to prospective recruits who are going to be coming to OU for the spring game and asking them how they feel about Lee Brice. And overall, the message that I got in just reading a pretty good write-up there on 24/7 is that the kids are indifferent. That's what I got. They're indifferent, and they're way more excited about a music festival down in Austin, which is going to be happening in May during Texas's big recruiting weekend, because it's a hip-hop festival, and excuse a little younger, and it's probably more in line with what these kids would listen to than a guy like Lee Brice. I think Travis Scott is the headliner for that festival in Austin, which I would try and pronounce, but if I get it wrong, I don't want to sound too hip, or I don't want to sound unhip, and I already sound unhip enough as it is, because I'm an old white guy, but enough of the whining. Essentially, OU had a decision to make when you're putting together the event that is the spring football game, and that is, how much do you want to please the recruits versus how much do you want to please the fans? And for the recruits, you've already got them in a way. They're already interested. They're on campus. They weren't coming there for a musical act anyway. If anything, if you went out and got, let's just say Drake. And again, I'm probably throwing darts at a board here. The only reason I say Drake is it seems like every athlete likes that dude. But maybe that's just NBA players. Again, not in tune, old white guy. Throw me some Smashing Pumpkins or Alice in Chains, and I'm right there. But, all right, you know what? I could even go as young as Five Finger Death Punch, but enough about that. But you bring in somebody like that, that's an added bonus. The reason they're coming is because they're interested in your school. They want to see your facilities. They want to meet your players. They want to know if there's an opportunity for them to play right away. They want to know if there's an opportunity for them to win a national championship. So what you do if you're OU, and this is very smart, you go out and you get an artist, even though I'm not that familiar with Lee Brice, that might be appealing to some people who are like, yeah, you know, I was debating, but this kind of puts it over the top. This will be kind of cool. Let's go check it out. And I'm assuming since he's a younger country artist, and country is a format that is geared towards females, which, again, smart. We'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, you get some college girls who are like, you know, we were going to go out of town that weekend. We weren't gonna go to the game. But, hey, we'll go check this guy out because we dig his music. We dig his songs. And, hey, that cannot hurt to have young college girls on campus for your prospective players to see, because that's a huge selling point. But you've already got them. It's that fringe fan or just the diehard fan, and even the diehard fans, you've already got them. They don't care. The diehard fan's going to drive in from Clinton or Woodward in Western Oklahoma, wherever they live, or, you know, the Easton Tulsa or Broken Arrow, and they're going to drive down anyway. I mean, they're going to show up. They want to see Jalen Hurts play. They want to see what Alex Grinch's defense has done. They want to see if Neville Gallimore's actually slimmed down and can make a difference. Who's the starting running back? They care about that. So now you're just trying to pull in a bigger audience that might have sat on the fence about whether or not they were going or not. But now that you've made it this cool event, they're sold on it. And the more that prospective student athletes see that you can bring people in and that you make everything an event and everything on campus that centers around this football program is a big deal, then you continue to sell the program and you continue to pull these kids in. That's simple. That's why it's done. And Texas, very smartly, doing it on the weekend where you're having a major hip-hop, where you're having a major hip-hop festival, doesn't hurt. But the bottom line is again, Texas, you've already got these guys. This is just an added bonus. Now you've got to sell them. And when it comes to selling OU versus when it comes to selling Texas, this is such an easy sell for Lincoln Riley. It's pathetic. It's skins on the wall. He has them. OU has them. OU got a guy that played for 3 national championships at Alabama coming in to play quarterback. OU's got a brand new defensive coordinator that's young and can identify with you. All these things, it all just stacks up. And for the foreseeable future, until Tom Herman can actually prove that he can take down OU, I'm going to give the recruiting edge to Oklahoma. Now, 24/7 will say that Texas has a higher-ranked recruiting class. That's fine. You can have a higher rank recruiting class, but you also got to develop them. And you also have to show you got to have more success than what you're having right now if you're Texas. And it's been good, but you're not quite over that hump, and it's just 1 year. So while this head-to-head may seem like a big deal, it may seem stressful, ultimately in the end, I still think OU comes out on top. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. Coming up next, we'll talk a little pro day plus what tomorrow means for that OU men's basketball team as they get ready to take on West Virginia in the Big 12 tournament. It's all right here on the Locked On Sooners podcast.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Eric G. The best place to listen in your car, just tell your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast or any of our other fine podcasts we have in the Locked On Podcast Network. And that's it. It's the best way to listen in your car. There's also Stitcher, Spotify. Subscribe on Apple iTunes. The Locked On Sooners podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the LOP in your team every day. All right, so now that I've gotten those plugs in. OU, West Virginia tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Big 12 tournament starting up. Play-in game for OU. And this is huge. It's a huge game for Oklahoma. One, the key to this game, in my opinion, start out intense. Get off to a fast start against West Virginia, because if there's any team in the conference that's mentally beaten down, that probably just wants to go back to Morgantown and call it a season, it would be the Mountaineers. After losing to Oklahoma State, getting knocked down to that 10 seed, after losing to Oklahoma a couple of weeks ago, and this season being utterly disastrous for them, where they were picked actually pretty high in the Big 12 to start the year, it's all you got to do. Get off to a good start. Take advantage of their poor three-point shooting defense. Of course, in order to do that, you've got to hit those open looks when you got them. So that means you, Christian James. The other key to this is make sure you get the ball to your MVP and Christian Doolittle, most improved player in the Big 12. Let him get into the lane. Let him get into the lane, finish at the rim, go to the free throw line, just every single time down the floor when he's on it. Make sure the offense runs through him. Make sure he's getting at least one touch. Rashard Odoms, there's no reason for him not to. He's your first option. After that, then you can kind of figure it out between who has the hot hand between Brady James, et cetera, or Brady Manick, Christian James, and Rashard Odoms. But at this point, Jamal Bienemy, you're running the offense, so I'm talking to you. Aaron Calixte, when you're out there running the offense, I'm talking to you. Make sure that ball gets to Christian Doolittle, okay? That's OU's key to success. You need to win this game. Don't go out and play with that listless attitude that you've shown so much during the year. Play like this game means something. You're a 10 seed right now, according to Joe Lunardi. But you screw up and lose this game, not only you're on the bubble, but there's a good chance that bubble bursts. Because despite your net ranking, despite your strength of schedule, how good the conference is, the fact that you've beaten a team from every Power 5 conference, you beat a team like Wofford who got into the tournament, which is going to help. You don't want to have a situation where you lose and some things get a little haywire in some other conferences, in particular those mid-major conferences, where somebody wins that shouldn't and the NCAA believes that somebody's tournament worthy. You just don't want to leave it to chance. Now, granted, I can sit here and make arguments all day that there isn't a single mid-major, even ones that have won their conference, that is near as worthy as Oklahoma is based on the type of schedule that Oklahoma plays every year and the Big 12 not being top-heavy, as Bill Self told us, being a conference where there's a lot of even teams. I can make an argument that OU is tournament worthy, but I just don't like the idea of leaving it in the committee's hands, because I think all too often with this committee, what they do is they look for drama, they look for great TV ratings, they look for the story, they look for entertainment value, than necessarily the most deserving teams to play for a college basketball championship. So no screw-ups tomorrow night. Go out, go beat West Virginia. Also, there's this little thing called Pro Day that OU's hosting tomorrow, which I think probably led every other podcast that you're listening to, so I figured I'd go a different direction. But for me, as much as all eyes are on Kyler Murray, I just want to see what Rodney Anderson and Marquise Brown do tomorrow, just how much they do participate, and if they do, is it enough to really make a difference? And I just cannot think it is. Austin Seibert, I think it's a huge day for him to show that he is an NFL kicker, which, I don't, man, again, that's one of those guys you see on film. And with as consistent as he is kicking extra points, why would you not want this guy? Plus, he's versatile. I mean, you don't have to take Austin Seibert as a guy that's going to kick field goals, because he really doesn't have, at least in high school, he showed he's got the range. His range in college, you didn't have many of those dramatic 50-plus yard field goals from Austin Seibert, but he's a guy that can get it out of the end zone on a regular basis. It's very valuable to an NFL team. He's a guy that can punt in a league that still values field position more than college football does. There are several things that this kid can do. I don't understand how he can't get drafted, because there's just value to a team with all his multiple skill sets. And then just rooting for a guy like Carson Meyer. Maybe you impress somebody enough that they take a chance on you to either draft you or sign you as a free agent. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. We'll be back to talk about the results of Pro Day tomorrow. We'll even talk a little bit more about the Big 12 tournament, OU in the NCAA tournament. What's going on with the women's basketball program? I think that's definitely worthy of bringing up as well. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. May God bless you and your family. Everybody love everybody. Peace, love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcasts Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.